Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the picture, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know what you've done.
Good evening. Welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now Blog Talk Radio Show, brought to you by the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, also known as NASCA. My name is Tammy Schaffstall. I'm calling in from Pompano Beach, Florida, and I'll be your host tonight. I'm also a survivor of child abuse. Tonight's show is a question and answer open mic show, and we have a guest host, guest speaker, Miss Felicia Dawn Parr. She's calling in from Illinois, and she is she suffered from abuse, neglect, and felt extreme fear when her mom and her dad divorced. She was molested by her uncle. She's also, I believe, a life coach, and I'm looking forward to the show tonight. I don't believe I've ever had the pleasure of meeting Miss Felicia Parr, but I'm looking forward to it. If you'd like to call in and join the show, we'd love to have you join us. We have a couple of people who have logged in. We know we have a lot of people who stream in. Please understand that this is a very easy and friendly show to do. If you'd like to call in and join us, please do so. The telephone number is 646-595-2118. That's 646-595-2118. We'd love to have you join the show. Pardon me. Before we get started with the show, let me tell you a little bit about NASCA. The National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse is a nonprofit 501c3 organization. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, so if you'd like to donate to NASCA, we would really appreciate it. You don't have to donate to participate in the show, but it's always appreciated. If you choose to do so, it is tax deductible, as we are a 501c3. Here at NASCA, we have a single purpose: to address issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect. And we do so from two perspectives. First, we educating society over the taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, and we present the facts to show child abuse to be a pandemic worldwide problem that affects everyone. And that's all child abuse. We also offer hope and healing through numerous paths, providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse, and information for anyone who is interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. Tonight is Christmas Eve, but we always have the show if it falls on a show night, because we know the holidays are hard for a lot of us survivors, and so we want to be there to support you. With the open mic shows, we always get into a rich discussion. Please join us if you'd like, 646-595-2118. I see we have several people who have joined us. We do have someone from an area code 607. I'm going to open that mic first. Area code 607, who do we have the pleasure of speaking with? Area code 607?
Hello.
Hello. Hello, this is Tammy. Welcome to the NASCA show. We are live. Hey, who do I have the pleasure of speaking with?
This is Mary Ellen calling from New York.
Mary Ann?
Mary Ellen.
Mary Ellen.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
From New York. Well, thank you for joining us, Mary Ellen. I really appreciate that. We're getting the show started, so I'm going to go down the panel, and we'll get into a discussion. We have a new guest speaker, a special guest host, so I'm really looking forward to the show. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Sure. Next, I'm going to go to our friend Bob from Australia. He's calling all the way from Australia. That is amazing. Good evening, Bob. How are you?
Well, it may be good evening for you, but it's good morning. It's just after 11 a.m. here in the beautiful Whitsunday Islands. And how am I? I am awesome because I create my life.
Absolutely. I know I'm getting hard of hearing, but I can't hardly hear you. So if you can turn up your mic, that would be amazing. But it could be me because I have to face the fact that I may be losing my hearing. So thank you for joining us, Bob.
Pardon?
Especially all the way from Australia.
Pardon?
You smarty pants. Last time you were on the show, it was such a good show. I remember we were singing and talking, and we had a really good time. So I'm looking forward to you joining us on the show.
You know, for me, I create my life, which is why it's so awesome. You know, like, always look on the bright side of life. Do-do, 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 do-do. And what I've come to realize, what I've come to realize is that what I radiate, I create. So I consciously choose to radiate joy because there's just too much misery in the world at the moment. So I'm just doing my bit. By making people laugh. And laughter is the best medicine, eh? Okay, carry on or shut up and play with me dogs.
I didn't mean to talk over you. I didn't mean to step on your box. Thank you for being here. I appreciate it. And it's going to be a fabulous show. Thanks for joining us. Well, I'm going to open Felicia's mic. And like I said, she is our special guest co-host. And she did, I believe I saw in here somewhere that she's a life coach. But I am going to open Felicia's mic and let her tell us a little bit about herself, and then we'll get the panel involved as well. Good evening, Felicia. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. I'm in South Florida. The weather is beautiful. I'm in a little sundress, so I could be freezing somewhere. I know Mary Ellen's calling from New York. I know Pamela's in Louisiana. Bob, you'll have to tell us what the weather's like in Australia. And Felicia, you're calling in from, let's see if I can see where you're calling in from. Wisconsin?
Illinois.
All right, well, tell us a little bit about yourself and just a little bit. And if you'd like to you know, get us started. Is there something on your heart that you'd like to start the show with? If not, I know this panel can come up with something. So I'm going to turn the mic over to you for a few minutes. Felicia?
Okay. I'm 56. I'm a survivor of mental, physical, and sexual abuse. I've come a long way in my recovery. I have been through a lot in my life. Went through a child being kidnapped, and I've just been through a lot, you know, from coming from child abuse. You tend to fall into those relationships as an adult. I've learned through my advocacy work, you either become an abuser or you become codependent. You know, there's a lot of issues with child abuse. But we have to choose who we are, and we have to choose our everyday life, you know, and we can either live in it or we can choose to use what has happened to us to help others, and that's what I do.
Absolutely wonderful. Well, I will have to tell you, you know, NASCA does not support one particular religion. We have a lot of people of faith. I know on this panel, I'm a woman of faith. But, you know, we welcome everybody. We welcome anyone who is a agnostic, Jewish, Muslim. It doesn't matter to us. You know, our common theme is either a survivor of child abuse or a supporter of her advocacy. But I am a woman of faith, and I did. My daughter took me to a candlelight service this evening, and the pastor said something that really stuck with me, and it just kind of it reminded me that again of this again when you said that, Felicia. Give me my peace. Don't steal my peace. And
that's
that is something we have to remember, that we are entitled to our peace. And I thought that was a very good message that was presented to me today, you know, in a religious setting. So thank you for allowing me to share that.
Well, you're welcome. And that's the truth. You know, we have to, whatever religion we are, whatever, whoever we are, you know, I always tell people I don't know who I was intended to be, because I was told who I was mm-hmm. going to be my entire life, you know, and I had to choose right from wrong and how I was going to react to things. And, you know, so it takes us a long time to come to grips with what's happened to us and come out of the, mm-hmm. the self-pity that we have, you know, because we do tend to, you know, feel like the world is against us because that's the way we were raised. But
mm-hmm.
there comes a time in our life when we have to come to grips with that and say, I tell everybody, I'm trying to pull you from the darkness to the light, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My glass is half empty, it's half full. Let's just, you know, get up, you know. In the last relationship I had, I learned my strength. You know, I didn't realize how strong I was.
Mm-hmm.
People would tell me all the time, you're the strongest person I know. Well, this last relationship was almost 7 years, and it was horrible. It was the worst one I'd ever had. And I was
right.
at the bottom of the barrel. I was suicidal. I was just messed up. And but when I came through the other side of it, how I got through the other side of it, is I had to forgive him. And so many people say, I can't. Well, it doesn't mean I have to put up with him anymore. I still have my boundaries there. But I had to forgive him in my heart and realize that it's his issue, not mine. I didn't cause it. He's who he is, you know. And it gave me such
mm-hmm.
peace in my heart to be able to lay that down and
right.
say, I'm not going to live in that abuse anymore because that's letting him control me. And, you know, we have
right.
to be who we choose to be. And,
you
know, I gave up on relationships and said, never again, I'm done. And
mm-hmm.
I was praying one night, and I said, if you want me to have somebody, you'll send me a godly man. And I wasn't even looking. I never even thought no more about that prayer. And I was
mm-hmm.
friends with my now husband. And it just, our friendship blossomed, and now we're married, you know. But he had prayed the same prayer
awesome.
When we were talking. He had prayed the same prayer. And so God just brought us together,
right.
and it's a blessing. He's a great guy, and I thank God for that. But sometimes we look for other people to fulfill us, but when we get to the place where we're happy with us and who we are, you know, I used to stand and pep talk myself in the mirror and say, I don't care if anybody else loves you, I love you. I don't care if
That's
anybody
right.
else sees your heart, I see your heart. I know you're a good person. And I had to put up
right.
this boundary, you know, and say,
right.
this is who I am. And I got to love me if nobody else does. And God bless me for that. You know, when I came
that's
to that point.
Right. Yeah. I think that's a good, I think we've come up with a good, at least to start with, a theme to get the rest, everybody else involved. And we can start, you know, discussing back and forth. All mics are open. I'm Tammy. I'm calling in from Florida. We have Felicia from Illinois. We have Bob from Australia. We have Pamela from Louisiana. And we have Mary Ellen from New York. And all the mics are open. And I would like to ask everybody, you know, I don't, you know, how do I say this? We can't talk over each other, so let's just be cognizant of each other. If you would, say your name first so we all know who we're speaking to, especially until we get, you know, familiar with each other's voice. But I'm going to open it up to the panel if somebody would like to comment on what
yeah.
we've talked about so far.
Yeah,
anyone?
Bob here.
Bob?
Yeah, that's me. I would like to pick up the talking stick for a while. And for me, this concept of open mic is just so awesome. You know, it's traditional. All the tribal people used to gather in communities and share the talking stick. And for me, if it's not an equitable platform, I'm not really interested. You know, what I love about people coming together and sharing their truth is that by giving up, by them being given the opportunity to share their truth and their story, we all help to heal each other. And what's more powerful for me in using the protocol of the talking stick, that everybody that comes to the forum will know that they will be given a chance to speak their truth. Because for me, we are all Sue. We are all sovereign, unique, and equal. And we all hold a piece of the puzzle. And as more and more people share their stories and color in their own piece of the puzzle, the bigger picture becomes more apparent to everybody. So, right. Yeah, you know, I just want to applaud your protocol, which is, you know, very rare. But we are all in this together. And if we are all one, then we are all equal by definition. So, yeah. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Here.
Life is awesome.
Merry Christmas.
Life is awesome,
Merry
hey.
Life is absolutely awesome. What do you think? Thank you, Bob. What do you think about all this, Mary Ellen? What are your thoughts?
I'm happy to be with you guys tonight. I've got a long history of abuse as well, and here we are on Christmas Eve, and you just kind of reflect back on where you've been and where you are today, and I'm so thankful for the progress I've made and for the friends I've made in the NASCA family. So I'm really happy to be joining with you guys tonight.
Awesome. What can you share with us? Or we know we have a lot of people streaming in. We can't tell who's listening. It could be 30. It could be 300. I looked at the stats one night. It was 2,000. So we don't know who we're reaching. And, you know, who may not have been, you know, gotten to the point to where they're ready to, ready to call in and share. So if there's anyone listening that may need some words of wisdom, how do you get your peace back? How do you maintain your peace after all the trauma that you've gone through?
You know, I kind of have to step back and take a look at where I've been and how low I felt, and each little step of progress, you know, if you can hang on to those steps, it's not like all of a sudden it happens overnight, but step by step, you make a little progress, and sometimes you fall backwards, but there comes a point where you can breathe and look around and be so grateful for the choices that you've made to get ahead. I know I do a lot of praying, but I have found that sharing my pain and being open myself up to be vulnerable to trustworthy people is very healing. That's a big step right there, to find someone that it's to talk with and share your experiences and trust that they're going to be genuine and listening to you and giving you feedback. The wrong person can be very hurtful. I've learned that. But,
absolutely. People can be hurtful. You know, they were hurtful to a lot of us in our childhood. And, you know, a lot of times we have paper-thin feelings. Our self-esteem gets low. And we've got to make a conscious choice to take care of us. Like Felicia said, you know, she doesn't care if anybody loves her. She loves her. And I think that, you know, I think it starts there. You know, it starts that we have to love ourselves. I'm advocating to one of my friends, and he told me, it's been about a month now. I know Pamela's heard this story, but, you know, he looked at me, and, you know, he's such a cutie cute. And, you know, tears were running down his face. He said, "I just don't like me." And I said, "Baby, you have to like you. You have to love you. You have to learn to love you." And he's come a long way. Just in a month, he's come a long way. But I'll say this, and I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to cut whoever that was off. I want to say this and then get Pamela's thoughts, and then we'll go back to Felicia. you know, if someone asked me last night, you know, you deal with all this, you know, the NASCA and the advocacy and, you know, listening to people talk about their pain. How do you do it? How do you stay positive? And I told her, I said, to be honest with you, it has the opposite effect. You know, when you hear those stories and you see someone who was, you know, like Bob, you know, Bob is, I believe I've heard Bob's, a little bit of Bob's story before, and he's so chipper and he's so positive. And, you know, when you help people and you see people that thrive, it gives you a sense of energy. It really does, to me.
Mm-hmm. Hey, agreed? I would just like to say something to Mary Ellen.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm a retired folk singer, and that's an oxymoron for a start. But one of my favorite folk songs was written by a Canadian guy called Stan Rogers, and it's called The Mary Ellen Carter. So I'll just give you the first verse, if I can remember it. And and I sang this song at the end of one of the 12-step programs that I went through, and it's called the Mary Ellen Carter. God, I just hope I remember the words. She went down last October in the pouring driving rain. The skipper, he'd been drinking, and the mate, he felt no pain. Too close to Three Mile Rocks, and we were dealt a mortal blow. And the Mary Ellen Carter settled low. There was just a spive aboard her when she finally was awash. We worked like hell to save her, but heedless of the cost. Too close to Three Mile Rocks, and she would put to down a day. And the Mary Ellen Carter rise again. And this is the important bit, and it's the chorus. Rise again, rise again. Though your heart may be broke and your life about to end, do go to go or us, and together we will lend, and let the Mary Ellen Carter rise again. And that is what we are doing now, Mary Ellen. We
Thank
are
you.
Rising together. We are rising
Yay.
Together.
Absolutely.
And please check out the Stan Rogers and his music, because it's not about a ship going down. It's about the journey of life, that, like, when you're sunk and wrecked upon the shore, there is some place within you that brings you back and lifts you up. Okay, I'll shut up.
That's
a bit too deep.
That is so true. You get to a low spot and something brings you back. Very true.
Hear, hear. Pamela, what do you think of all this? That was a fabulous song Bob just sang us in honor of Mary Ellen. What do you think about all this, Pamela?
I love it. I love that song. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Hello? Okay. Felicia? Can Felicia hear me?
I can.
Oh, okay. Just making sure. So my thoughts are, just want to kind of keep it with NASCA and how we are a family. So, you know, it's like so many people can call in if they don't have family around them right now. You know, we're in COVID and families can't be together, and there's a sense of loneliness and pain with painful memories. And, you know, I just want people to reach out to NASCA because we're here for them.
Absolutely.
This is the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse of any sort. And, you know, Tammy gave out the phone number, and I want people to call in and get in on this theme of helping each other rise above the pain, like Bob said. And Felicia, I would like to know when you started able to keep your peace Was it through boundaries? Did you set boundaries and that helped?
2 years ago when I left him, I set boundaries. I said, I'm done. I've had it. I took him to court. He had an attorney. I walked in and whooped him 3 times in court with no attorney, and I took my power back and I walked out the door. And
so what were
he
you,
had,
what were you in court for? What were you in court for?
He had kidnapped me 3 times, and
oh wow,
he was fighting me over personal belongings, which I had kept every receipt through the years. I planned everything out to leave. I had everything done that. And he was going to sue me for this. He was going to sue me for that. He was suing me for custody of my kids, this and that. Well, a kid. And I won every court case. I had 350 screenshots of text messages because I saved everything.
Wow.
Screenshotted my text messages and hid them in folders on Facebook. They're still there in hidden folders, over 3,000-some text messages where he admitted to kidnapping me, where he admitted that he was abusive and he needed help and trying to get me to come back to him. And I mean, it was just a whole lot, but when it was all said and done,
right,
he walked in and thought he was going to whoop me. And he got fooled because I had all the evidence against him and I took my power back. I walked out the door and didn't look back. I've seen him a few times since then, just recently. And he went by me real slow, staring out the window, trying to stare me down, him and his new wife, and I just started laughing. It didn't affect me. I thought, if you only knew how silly
right.
you look, because it's been intimidating me. But through that, he thought me and my father hadn't spoken in years. My mother has passed away now. But me and my father hadn't spoken in years. Thought that he was going to, I guess, do more damage. So he came to see my dad, and I came home to this town. But I was in a shelter. I didn't tell any of my family I was in town. And he came to see my dad. Well, my dad found out where I was. And when he first pulled up, I was standing outside with the girls, and they said, a man's here. And I looked over, and I said, and that would be my dad. And I immediately started trembling and shaking because I thought, I do not know what's going to happen now. And I walked
mm-hmm.
over, and I said, do you want to see me? And he said, yes. And he stepped out of his vehicle, and he had tears in his eyes, and he was crying. And he said, I came
uh-huh.
to tell you that I want to have a relationship with you, and I'm sorry. And I said, Daddy, that's all I ever wanted. So
uh-huh.
I ended up buying a place 2 doors down from my dad. Me and my dad are best friends now. We have a relationship
good.
That we've never had. And but my recovery started when I learned the word no. No more. No more. And what I tell people, kind of like what the guy was saying from Australia, we begin to heal when we find our tribe. People heal when they
right.
feel heard, not heard, not just me talking to you. I mean, when we find people that have damage like us and we know we're heard by them, that's when the healing begins. But
mm-hmm.
what I'd like to leave with everybody, make a point to everybody, what we speak into existence. So I tell everybody, those pep talks I had, I spoke out loud to myself in the mirror. Every day
uh-huh.
until I became that person. Because what we speak, we hear. Think about this.
Mm-hmm.
What you hear, your mind receives and your heart receives. So if we're constantly negative and we're constantly, dwelling on what's happened to us, it's going to affect our lives and we're going to stay in the negative. We have to speak life,
uh-huh.
not death.
Uh-huh.
There are so many evil, mean people in this world that kill their children and stuff. We'll never understand because we're not those people. We're abuse survivors are compassionate people. We are people that understand and people that want to help someone else, But what
right.
I tell people is if you're going to live in the past and constantly be negative, you're going to stay there. Plant seeds of joy. Talk to yourself. I know that sounds stupid, but it works. It works.
I totally agree with you, darling. And
yeah,
can I share yourself. Something quickly? Yeah.
Sure.
For me, no is such an important word. And for me,
yes.
the concept of boundaries is so important. And for me, my boundaries are the golden frame around the masterpiece that is me.
Yes.
Awesome.
People treat us how we allow them to. If somebody's going to beat you up, there's nothing that you're going to do to stop them from beating you up, honestly. If they're strong enough to whoop you, they're going to whoop you. But that doesn't mean you have to take it again. You have to put up a boundary and say, I'm not going around that person anymore. I'm going to file charge them, do whatever I can to protect myself. That's a boundary.
Right.
We have to have a boundary. It's not okay that you acted that way. Sorry, didn't do it. You did it. And I'm not coming back around.
Right. That's one of the things that I'm so sorry. I don't know who I'm stepping on. I'm so sorry. But I'm going to say something really quickly. That's one of the things,
okay,
especially this time of year, that a lot of us survivors and thrivers struggle with. Because it is the holidays. It is Christmas. And, you know, that is supposed to be traditionally a time to be with our families and loved ones. But, you know, folks who grew up in a dysfunctional family, I know I did, you know, it's a dread. Oh, my God, you know, I've got to go sit, you know, across from my, you know, my uncle or, you know, my stepfather or, you know, in some cases, you know, the grandmother. You know, my friend was sexually abused by his grandmother. And then, you know, then there that's the big, you know, it causes anxiety if you go to see him, causes anxiety mm-hmm. if you don't go to see him until one learns, you know, that you're entitled to boundaries, whatever those boundaries are, you know, whether it's completely cutting them off, if that's what you have to do, or if it's, you know, when you do, you know, if you choose to have a relationship with them, is you have a boundary. You know, with an ex-husband, you know, I've got, you know, an ex-husband, too. He's actually here visiting with the kids. You know, I had an abusive marriage. You know, I don't have to see him. You know, he's here with the kids, but, you know, I don't have to see him. But my mother, you know, that's tough. You know, she's getting up in age. You know, how do I not go see my mother knowing that she's, you know, got a limited time left? So I struggle with that. And a few years back, I put up some pretty hefty boundaries. So I can have a relationship with her. For 5 years, I didn't. So I know a lot of our community, survivor community struggles with that. I want to get Mary Ellen involved. I want to make sure that what I'm going to do is try to make sure everybody stays involved. All the mics are open. If you guys want to chime in, as long as sometimes it's hard not to step on each other, but you know, just try to you know. Yes, say your name and get in there quickly, just like Bob's doing. Bob, and then we'll go to Mary Ellen.
Yeah, Bob. Yeah, oh, God, I love Mary Ellen.
We've got some background noise.
I can't help that. It's nature. It's it's raining very heavily, so you'll have to, you know, and I can't control nature. Not yet, but I'm
we'll
working on
it.
We'll
work with you on it.
But for me, no, good on you. And this is open mic, and we are here bearing our souls on our hearts. So
that's right.
How I run my life is whatever is not nurturing for me, I simply call the beast, and I no longer feed the beast. Why would I? Why would I engage in anything in my life that is not nurturing for me? And it's my job to meet my needs. So bring it up. Oh, my dogs are barking. Okay. Yeah. Thanks. Loving the show.
Good. Can I say something before you move on?
Who was this?
I wanted to respond to you. About your mom. Yes, this is Felicia.
Felicia, go ahead.
This is about your mom. I had a mom that was not loving. She wasn't a mom. And my dad was not loving. He was an alcoholic, and he was not loving. But when I took advocacy classes and was helping people, what I come to realize within my own self is people love the way that they were taught to love. And so many times our parents, we don't know where they came from. I always thought my grandmother was the best grandma in the world. I always thought that she loved my dad and my aunt and everybody. I'd never seen an ugly side. But I knew through advocacy classes that people love with what they're equipped to. You know, they're a product of their raising. Being with my dad every day for the last almost 2 years, I have learned so much about my dad's childhood. Watching my dad, one day I screamed in the truck at my dad because he was driving, and I said, Dad, My anxiety's through the roof. You've got to stop. And he reached over and he took my hand and he looked away from the road and he said, what's wrong? I said, you're driving. You can't drive. You're scaring me. Afterwards, we were talking and I was watching his reactions to certain things. My dad has anxiety. My dad was abused growing up. He has anxiety. So therefore, that made me realize that why his temper, why he lost control so easily. His anxiety goes high. He loses it and he doesn't know how to control it. He's done better, you know, through the years. But after learning me through advocacy classes, I learned that my parents were a product of their raising and they loved and did with what they were equipped with. So maybe your mom's never shared with you where she came from, and maybe she loves you, but only with what she's equipped with to love, only what she was taught.
Sure. Sure, absolutely. Your point has merit. Let's go to Mary Ellen. I want to make sure she stays involved. Mary Ellen, what do you think about all this?
I've found that I love my family very much. I just have my siblings now, but I have to have some really strong boundaries. So I've also grown into outside families and found groups where I feel comfortable, and I've decided that's okay. Sometimes we choose who we want in our life, kind of like Bob was saying about feeding the beast. We have to be careful who we are subjecting ourselves to. So boundaries are real important. They're very difficult. I love my sisters, but they are big supporters of my father, who's passed away, and he was my abuser. So it's really hard at times to know that I have to step back or step aside, I guess. Maybe that's a better word for it, because they have their feelings and their memories, and I have mine, and they are so different. I don't know how kids grow up in the same house and look at things so different, but I'm thankful for the outside friends that I've chosen that can be very supportive, and thankful for programs like NESCA that I can call in and feel that connection when I'm feeling alone. And like we said, you know, it's a holiday season. It can be very sad for people. It can be very lonely. And it helps when you know that you can reach out and somebody's going to be there.
Absolutely. You know, something that you said struck a chord with me. You know, my grandmother beat me when I was young. She was very, very abusive. You know, I can remember when I was a child being told, you're dumb, you're stupid, you're worthless, this world would be better off had you never been born. And that was just normal verbiage. That's the way I was treated. But my sister was treated like a princess. And my grandmother, she passed away. She never acknowledged what she did. She never apologized, and she's dead. I'll never get that apology.
No.
But my sister sees her as this wonderful grandmother, and you know, she'll put something on Facebook. I love my sister, don't get me wrong, but she'll put, we called her Mama, she'll put Mama's picture on Facebook and, oh, you know, just rant and rave about her. And when I see that picture, I cringe. And how can our memories be so different? She sees this wonderful woman that treated her like a princess, and I see this woman who beat me and put me down. Same woman.
Yeah.
Siblings. You know,
absolutely.
So that just really, really struck a chord with me. Well, the mics are open. Pamela, I don't want to slide you. You got to get in there, girlfriend. So do you have any comments before we go back to Felicia?
Well, I wanted to see if Felicia would take us to the Guardian. She was a member of the Guardian.
The Guardians of the Children are a 501c3 nonprofit organization. They're a group of bikers, and they're worldwide, and they mentor for children that are in a system that has been abused. When I formed my chapter, we helped 30 I think it was 39 kids. I'd have to look back now. And each child that I reached out and helped me, you know. And I tell them, when I first meet them, I tell them, I'm going to help you, and then you're going to help the next one, because we're going to form a circle around this world hand in hand. And most of the children, well, every child that I've ever come in contact with, were being kids again by the time that we were done mentoring them. But it's a great organization. It's all free. They come in and they mentor and they help kids. They hold their hands. They help them reach the right avenues, the doors that need to be opened. They advocate for justice for the kids. And it's just a great program. It really is. It's a great program. My now husband is still part of the Guardians. I had resigned in 2018 after spending 5 years, but my husband is still part of them.
Awesome. You know, you were talking about this, Pamela Steele. You were talking about your dad got out of the truck and he asked you to forgive him. What was he asking forgiveness for not being there for you?
My dad was very abusive, very abusive. My brother was his what I call best child, you know, and my brother was killed in 2012. It was horrific. And my dad about lost his mind. But, you know, when I talk to my dad today, he doesn't remember any of the abuse. We were talking one day, and my half-sister is very outspoken and she's still really damaged. And, matter of fact, she just got ugly with my dad here the other day, and it made me cry. And I looked at her when my dad walked away, because my dad was very hurt, because he doesn't remember any of it. And I honestly believe that, because we've had conversations and he don't remember any of the abuse. And I asked her, I said, do you not like dad? And she said, honestly, no. And I said, but Heather, you have to like him. Dad's a different person. He's not the same person. And she said, I respect him. I just don't like him. I said, you don't respect him, or you wouldn't act that way. You know, dad's a good dad now. You know, he had a past and he drank and stuff like that. But, you know, he wanted me to forgive him for everything that he had ever said or done, you know, to me. And that's all I ever wanted, was for him to want a relationship with me, for him to validate that, you know, what he'd done was wrong, even though he doesn't remember it all. He remembers little things, because when we were sitting on the porch talking here just a few days ago, he said, you had a horrible life growing up, and I'm sorry for that, you know. And I said, Dad, I'm not, you know, it's in the past. I'm glad that we've had this time together where I can spend time with my dad, the dad I always wanted to spend time with. I mean, we do everything together. We have coffee together every day. We shop together every time he goes to the store, you know, or whatever. It's the best relationship in the whole world. But sometimes we'll be talking and he'll say, I don't remember that. You know, when something gets brought up, my sister was like, well, do you remember the time that you, and Dad said, that never happened. And I said, Dad, I was there. It did happen. And he said, well, I don't remember it. And my sister's like, well, it's all your fault that my life is like this. And I said, no. We have a choice. We can choose. We can choose who we are. That we can choose to be nice. We can choose to be mean. It's up to us to choose. It's nobody else's fault. Not once we're grown. That's like saying, yeah, my dad was a murderer, I'm going to be a murderer. No, that's not right.
Oh, we lost Mary Ellen. Mary Ellen has dropped off, so hopefully she'll call back. Well, you know, I'm at a loss for words. I guess the thing that's going through my mind, it sounds like that you're at peace with what happened, but your sister, you know, she's got to work through it in her own time. She may still have some anxiety left, which she's entitled to. I mean, we choose. I've chosen not to forgive my grandmother. She's not here, and I know you said that that's one of the ways you got through it, was to forgive. I think it was one of your relationships. I know a lot of people see this differently than me, but I don't have to forgive. It's her, and you did say this, that's for her to answer for. That was her sin, you know, her transgressions, not mine. You know, thank God I survived it, you know, because I was just a little kid. I didn't do anything wrong. You know, I just, and she never apologized. So I struggle with, well, you know, I struggle with the notion that I have to forgive somebody who beat me to heal. I struggle with that. And I don't believe that for a minute. Am I at peace with what happened in my childhood? Absolutely. But, you know, she beat me and she put me down and she caused a lot of damage. So I can kind of understand some of what you described of your sister's feelings, because I have some of those feelings too. But I have chosen to deal with it differently. You know, I've chosen to be kind to my grandkids. I've chosen to, you know, to be part of an advocacy program and advocate to other people. I've chosen to be a good person, tried and be a good person anyway. But it's not, it's tough sometimes. So I can understand some of the feelings that you described that your sister may have. And in her time, you never know. I mean, that's her journey. You know, she has your journey and you have yours.
Right.
I believe, but that's just my opinion. But anyway,
it's like my mom's husband. One of my mom's husbands molested me for years, and he came to me one day after my third child was born. He knocked on my door, and I let him in, and he asked for my forgiveness, and I told him no. Well, years later, probably 3 or 4 years later, I went to him, and I told him, I said, I came to tell you that I forgive you because I choose to forgive you. Because I'm not going to let you take up one more day, one more second of negative space in my life. I want to be free of it, and the only way I can be free of it is to forgive you and let me move on away from you. And he's dead now. He died in an accident. But it was something I had to do for me. You know, I tell everybody it's your walk. It's your, you know, you've got to carry your own self there, and I can't carry you. I can try to hold your hand, but you've got to come to the decision of what you've got to come to the decision of to help yourself. But the only thing that I can tell anybody that is trying to heal from abuse, if you truly want to be free of the negativity in your life, then you have to speak positively to yourself. Nothing was ever your fault. I mean, even if you provoked someone, you know, as an adult, even if you've done something, it doesn't give anybody a right to hurt you, you know, to physically hurt you, to stay away from you, yes. We choose to either reach out and smack somebody or not. But as a child, you're an innocent person. So I look at things a little bit differently because I had to forgive for me because I had so much anger and so much hurt and so much stuff inside of me, my self-esteem, my self-worth, everything is, you know, I still have trouble with self-esteem and self, probably always will. But if I let them live there and just every day, it just destroys me. It's like pouring salt in an open wound every day. And I just can't do it anymore. And looking at my now at his age and listening to him talk about things that happened to him as a child, I still understand so much more. Did it make it right? No, it didn't make it right. But I understand how it happened now. You know, I thought he had a perfect life, which I was wrong.
Right. Well, I'm at peace with it. I'm at peace with what my grandmother did, but, you know, it doesn't live in my head. I don't think about it every day, you know, I'm not angry anymore. But, you know, it's just a non-factor. I don't have to forgive her. I don't have to. And that's my choice. You know, I don't, you know, I'm at peace with it. You know, like we started the show, give me my peace. So I have my peace. Yeah. Bob, you got your peace. I love that. I love that. I say it all the time. My vibe is my tribe. You know, my tribe is my vibe. I said it backwards. My tribe is my vibe. So what do you think, Bob?
Bob?
He may be on mute. Anyway. Pamela, anybody can jump in. All the mics are open. I'm Tammy. I'm calling in from Florida. We have Felicia from Illinois. We have Bob from Australia. And we've got Pamela from Louisiana. And we did lose Mary Ellen. So anybody who has any comments, all mics are open. Bob just dropped.
You talked a lot about your dad, but you haven't said much about your mother. She wasn't protective of you, though, was she?
My mom?
Yeah.
My mom left when I was 5 years old. My dad was very abusive, like I said. And mom wasn't in my life until I was like 12. And I ran away. When I ran away and became a child of the street, I found my mom. And no, my mom went, she went from one abusive relationship to the other. And her husbands were very abusive to us. And she blamed us every time something happened. And I wasn't speaking to mom, hadn't spoke to my mom in a few years when my mom passed away. I had gave her a house, I had bought cars for her, I'd done everything, and at the time I didn't realize that, you know, I was trying to buy her love, I guess, in a way. But no, I never really had a mom, and my stepmom, to me, I consider her to be like the Wicked Witch of the West. She was horrible.
Yeah, it said in your biography that she tried to tell you to run away, that you weren't wanted. I guess she was probably jealous of your relationship with your dad, maybe?
No, me and my dad didn't have a relationship when I was growing up at all. My dad was a severe alcoholic, but she did tell me to run away and that nobody wanted me there when I was in fourth grade, and I did run away. But, you know, when me and my dad was talking the other day, we were talking about her because now she has dementia and she's not with it at all. But we were talking about it, and he said the reason that she hated me was because I looked like my mom. And I was like, well, I don't know that I look like mom. I said, I think I look like both of you all, but that is so crazy that she hated me all them years because I looked like my mom.
Because you look like her, you look like her mom, like your grandmother.
I look like my real mother.
This is your stepmother.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she don't.
Said
she don't.
Your stepmother was the Wicked Witch.
Yeah, she was like the Wicked Witch. I was like the one that had to sweep him off the floors. It's like, but you know, I don't hate her either. And it's weird because I'll be sitting over there and she'll be screaming or whatever, and I look at her with pity, and I don't love her, I don't hate her, I don't really have any feelings toward her at all. You know, she'll come out on me and my dad sitting and talking, and it doesn't affect me, you know, one bit.
Oh, I was going to tell you this, Pamela. You know, my mother, I found out in my 50s that she actually pimped me out to her second husband for 14 years. And when I found it out and everything, I just felt numb. I mean, it's like, you know, I would have thought I would have ended up in the insane asylum or something, you know. But and then she died not long after I found out because she was just so nervous because I was going to take my abuser to court, and it freaked her out. She just almost lost it. And anyway, she died about 2 weeks later after all this. And I thought I was going to just be so sad, you know, but I didn't feel anything. It was weird, and I still don't when I think of her. It's like she's non-existent to me. You know, it's like she never existed.
Right. When my mom
got Mary Ellen back.
Yeah. When my mom passed away, I cried. But...
Well, I will tell you, I believe Mary Ellen has called back in because it's area code 607. So,
yeah.
Mary Ellen, is that you?
It is me. I'm sorry. I had a call come through. But, yeah, that's
okay. Okay. Well, Pamela and Felicia were having a conversation about some of the issues that Miss Felicia had with her stepmother. You know, step-parents, you know, it doesn't matter that you look like your mother. You know, children are children. You know, people try to make excuses. And I'm glad, yeah, it sounds like you feel about your stepmother like I have come to feel about my grandmother who has passed. I don't hate her. She's not a factor in my life anymore. You know, it's not, you know, it just is what it is. But
did
you know,
you
children
feel,
are children. Go ahead.
Pam, did you feel any sense of sadness or mourning or anything when she passed? Because I didn't when my mother passed.
When my grandmother passed, you know, when my grandmother, like I said, she was spoiled. You know, a lot of times, like Felicia has said, you know, she kind of understood, not that to make an excuse for it, but, you know, we've got to break the cycle. We've got to break the chain. And that's what it's all about. You know, we've made choices. We were abused, and we could have made the choice to repeat that, and we chose not to. So there's no excuse for child abuse, ever. But my grandmother was spoiled, and she was, as far as I know, was never abused. She was just mean to me, and I don't know why. I don't know what I ever did. And, you know, when I was a teenager, when we moved out, when my mother remarried, and I got into the second nightmare with my stepfather, you know, when I became a teenager, I was mean to her. I didn't respect her, and I didn't care. And I was a teenager, too. But, you know, through the years when I got older and she was putting into retirement, I went and visited her once or twice. And, you know, I had made my peace with it, you know, and I was going to, you know, she was my grandmother and she was old. And, you know, I went and visited her just once or twice. My sister was there every week. And I was in Shreveport, Louisiana, actually, when she died. And when I got the phone call, I was so angry. It brought back so much anger, you know, I guess because I knew I would never get the apology that I was entitled to. And I never, to this day, I've not cried a tear over her, not one. I was angry about what she put me through. I cried for Tammy. I cried for that little girl that she beat. I cried for that little girl that she told this world would be better off had I never been born. I mourned for the child, the child within me. I did. I never once mourned for her, and I had a right to do that. And you know, looking back, it was very therapeutic for me, personally. May not be for everybody, but to me, you know, how could she have done that? Why did she do that? What right did she have to tell me that this world would be better off had I never been born in front of me at 4 years old? And I was angry, and I've worked through the anger. I haven't forgiven her, but I have worked through the anger, and I've accepted it. I can't change it. So that's just me.
I think you feel righteous indignation. Women of faith or Christians can indignation of God over his children. He hates it when his little children are abused.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you can be the righteous indignation of the Lord.
Well, you know, I'm a firm believer, like I said, you know, I'm a woman of faith, you know, even though we support everybody, we are a 501c3. But I lost my father at a very early age, and the Bible gives a covenant to the fatherless and to the fatherless and the widows. God will always protect and have special covenant for the fatherless and the widows, and I was fatherless as a child. So he's always, always, always taking care of me and my sister, regardless of what we went through. It always turns out well for me. I mean, here I am, I was an abused child, and now I'm an advocate, you know, in a community that's respected and, you know, across the nation, across the world. Bob called in from Australia. So, you know, how cool is that? So.
I know. Yep, God gave us a new family.
Well, we've got about 30 minutes left of the show. It is, if anybody is listening and would like to join us, the telephone number is 646-595-2118. And our special co-host tonight is Miss Felicia Dawn Parr. And Felicia, you, if I understood correctly, I'm looking at your bio. You started a guardian angels. Was that correct?
No, it's called Guardians of the Children.
Guardians of the Children. And do you serve as a life coach as well? Or did I get that wrong?
Yes, I help everyone. Yes, I do.
Okay.
And I do speaking and yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool beans. Well, we've got Mary Ellen, we've got Pamela, Felicia, and me, Tammy. So the mics are open, so
let
anybody has anything on their heart, please go with it.
This is Pamela. I want to talk to Felicia about her Christian host.
Well, we've been friends for quite a while on Facebook because we were guardians, and all of us guardians around the world, you know, kind of befriended each other and became friends. And we just were friends for about a year, and then it just blossomed from friendship on, you know. And it was amazing to both of us. His wife had died, I think, close to 6 years ago now. And he wasn't really looking either. I mean, we were just friends. And then one day we just decided to be boyfriend and girlfriend. And the next thing I know, we're getting married. And who would have thought it, you know, because it was just meant to be. We're just alike in so many ways. You know, he has a heart to help people and children. And, you know, we'd talked about even in opening up a place for domestic violence women and children to come to, you know, on an emergency basis and stuff, so that they have a place of safety to come and recover, not where they're going to be on a time limit of, you know, when I was in the shelter, it was 45 days. Well, 45 days is not that long when you're in your head and trying to figure out where you're going to go, what you're going to do. You know, it's a nightmare to be in that situation. So that's something that I want to do. And we talked about that. So I'm sure we're going to go through with that, you know, helping other people. But we just have the same goals, and, you know, we're just alike in so many ways that it just was, we felt like it was meant to be, and we prayed about it, and here we are.
May I ask, is he, and I'm so sorry, Pamela, I didn't mean to step on you, is he a survivor that you know of, or is he what we call a normie?
Nope, he's a normie, and he's listening in, too. He's on there somewhere. No, he had a good childhood. He has a wonderful mom, wonderful kids. He, to me, he's just perfect. You know, he doesn't drink. He doesn't do anything wrong. He's the most loving, kind person that I've ever met in my life. It's like he came from somewhere else. You know, it's not like he's even from Earth, because he's just very, very loving, very kind, and very passionate. It's like somebody dropped him from Mars or something.
Well, good for you. Maybe I can have that same kind of luck. So I did take your prayer, if you don't mind, Felicia. I did pray for, right when you said that, I prayed for God to send me a man of faith. So I hope you don't mind me using your prayer. But I can tell you right now, it sounds like he's absolutely incredible. It's tough a lot of times. And we've got some callers who call in sometimes that are normies, but they are in relationships with survivors, and they've had to, you know, reach out. They chose to reach out and get some help to understand their partner. I advocated to a friend of mine. I actually met him in Key West. I was in Key West for about 3 or 4 months working, doing some contract work, and I'm still in contact with a guy I met at the hotel, because, you know, I was there for 3 months. And he's actually in the army. He's some general, sergeant, whatever. He's pretty petty officer or something like that. But he's far up there. But we started talking at the pool, and this was a number of years ago. And he started telling me about his wife. I told him about NASCA, and he said, "Well, I think my wife was a survivor, or she was abused." And, you know, he told me a couple of things. You know, you get to a point where you can kind of temper how much they want to share and when they clam up, you know. So I ask questions, pretty decent at knowing what questions to ask and when to ask them, and then he clammed up. Well, we've been in contact through LinkedIn through the years, and probably about 6 months ago, he called me and basically said his wife, excuse my language, she went batshit crazy. And, you know, we started talking. And some of the things he said, and I found myself coaching him on how to deal with the dysfunction of someone I had to tell him, you know, she's coming face to face with this. And based on what you're telling me there, she's probably, you know, because we suppress it for so long. We've got another caller, I think is Carol. A lot of times we suppress it, sometimes for years. And sometimes it just bubbles out, you know, it just bursts out. It's like a balloon bursting. And that's what happened to her, and he didn't know how to handle it. So the fact that you've got a mild-tempered gentleman who, you know, who loves you and supports you and, you know, understands what you're going through and what you've had to deal with is amazing. So good for you.
Yeah. Life is hard, but being with a survivor, I've had so many people tell me, you know, what are the steps? I said, well, for me, the steps was going from self-pity to grief to anger. Mm-hmm. And anger was the longest one for me to come through. But once I got past the anger, I felt like I had calmed down. Before that, I always felt like I was a tornado looking for a place to land, you know. I used to would fight at the drop of a pin if someone got in my face. You know, it's like I was the wrong person to approach because I was very angry person. And I came through all that. And I, do I still have battles? Well, yeah, I'm insecure. You know, I have self-esteem and self-worth. And I am insecure, but I did learn the word no, and I say it very loudly. If somebody's crossed those boundaries, I'm like, I know this is a boundary that upsets me. Don't do it. You know, let's work through it. And there's got to be another way, you know, but I've always been the workable type that we could talk about it. But nowadays it's like, it's not okay I just don't accept bad behaviors anymore. It's not okay. And I say it right in the beginning when I see it, that way we don't have to deal with it over and over again. You know, it's like, I want to be normal. And I told I see a behavior specialist now because of my insomnia. And I told him, I said, sometimes I think I'm crazy. What do you think? And he said, I don't think you're crazy at all. I said, well, you don't live in my head. But sometimes I feel like I am because somebody can do something to me. It's like on my birthday this year, my stepsister, she flipped out on me because I was taking her mom for rides in the car and stuff because her mom was unsettled and wanted to ride 24/7. So I'd take her to town, bring her back, take her to town, bring her back. And anyways, we had words about it. And she told me, that's my mom and I'll take care of her and blah, 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 blah. And by the time she was done talking, I so wanted to reach out and touch her. And my dad's standing there, you know, and he's trying to calm the situation down. And he's like, this is why we can't have family reunions. Nobody wants to get along. And I walked away and I came home and I didn't sleep days. It triggered me so bad because I have PTSD from the abuse. And so I'm triggered and I don't sleep, you know, and it just eats at me and eats at me and eats at me. And it's like, so I blocked her number. I've blocked them on Facebook, blocked them every way so I don't have to deal with them because I don't want to have to be ugly. But I let her know that's a boundary. You don't disrespect me, you know. But I told the doctor, I said, why can't I just roll off my back? When somebody's being a butthead, why can't I just let it roll off my back like normal people do? I said, that stuff eats at me forever. And he's like, well, I don't know that there is a such thing as normal. And I'm like, well, you see people that will just go on with their life like nothing happened. I'm not that person. Right. You do something mean to me, and in 2 or 3 weeks down the road, I'm still losing sleep over it. I don't know, but I try to be the person.
Well, we're all different, and we all have, you know, I think we all have different buttons that people push, and some people are button pushers, and we've got to guard our buttons. I do want to say this, and I want to catch this call. I think it's Carol. But, you know, one of the things for folks who are listening who may be at the beginning of their recovery path, if you are listening, congratulations. But a lot of times, you know, as we talk, you know, we've come to that place. There is a process. I'm a firm believer that when people first start dealing with what happened to them, the first thing they need is validation. And that's one of the things that we give people here at NASCA is validation. I understand what happened to you. I can relate. That's, you know, no one had the right to do that to you. You did nothing wrong. Those are some things that, you know, a validation that is so important to the newcomer, to the new, to the person, you know, newly dealing with their trauma. And then there is a phase where you go through, you know, phases and anger, and you can trail back and forth in them. You know, like I said, we just dropped Mary Ellen. Like I said, you know, I had gotten past it, and then when my grandmother died, I went straight back to anger. Carol, is that you?
Yeah, honey, it is me. Merry Christmas, everyone. Wow. I was listening to the show. I never got validation. Yeah. But I think that's why I went so wild. Okay. There wasn't anyone in the family to sit down with me and talk about what it, you know, the times I've been sexually abused and beaten and all this other stuff. So I was always like the outcast, and I ended up out on the street. That's what happened. And I think that if we don't get that validation, if we don't have someone to talk to, this is just my opinion, you do go astray because you can't handle being around the people that abuse you. And not one of them ever say, I'm sorry, you know. So I think that's why a lot of times those of us who you know, are looked at as bad kids or bad people, they don't know the path that we've been down. They hadn't walked in our shoes. And in order to heal from something like that, something miraculous has to happen in your life and to get you on the right road. Okay, and as all of you who know me know, the church got a hold of me and told me I was a mess, and they started to work with me because I agreed with them. I knew I was. And then I learned to, I can't say I forgave those people. Nope. But I gave it to God because it was too big for me, okay? So what I've done is over the years is just simply tried to be me, learn who me was, and do what I have to do. And it got me on the right path, because I was able finally to sit down and realize what was right and what was wrong. And I wasn't able to do that before. So that's what I've got to say about what you've said so far, because I just, we're trying to social distance. So I had only a few people here and they just left. So now I'm calling the show, and tomorrow I'll be a few more people, only I'll be somewhere else with the social distancing, you know. But what I've been listening to is, you know, I can identify, I didn't have validation. And to this day, okay, most of them are dead now because they all know, you all know I'm 27, that's all. You know, but this happened a long time ago. So they went to their graves the way they went. I'll go to the grave the way that I go. And there was never any talk or help.
Right, right. Well, Kel, I think your point has merit, and you and I, we've talked about this many, many, many times on the show. Carol and I are the same thread that we don't feel like we have to forgive. You know, we gave it over to God. We turned it over to God. We're at peace with it. A lot of people do have the mentality that you have to forgive or you can't heal. Carol and I very much agree on that. And you're right. Sometimes we don't get the validation from the people. I will never get that validation from my grandmother. You know, I've given it to myself. I've gotten it from my Nazca family. You know, that's where I've gotten, you know, the validation that I need to get to the next step. You know, how do you get to the next step? How do you get to, like Felicia talked about, how do you get to the anger phase and the healing phase when no one will even believe what you did? I mean, what happened to you, or they blame you? Because a lot of times our abuser will blame. A lot of times if they beat you, you know, you made me hit you. Or if it's sexual abuse, you want it. Because the fact is, whether you're 3 or 30, unless somebody's raping you, the act of sex, the act of somebody caressing your vagina, your penis, feels good. We're human, it feels good. And that's where a lot of the guilt comes in, and that's where a lot of the people hold it over our heads. You wanted it, you leaned into it, you asked for it, you liked it, you know. And the fact is the children are never responsible, ever. That's just human nature. And that's where that comes from. So a lot of times, you know, we have this guilt built up in us, and we need somebody to say no. Like I told my friend Ben the other day, baby, you know, his grandmother sexually abused him. I said, baby, you did nothing wrong. This is 100% her fault, not yours. And what I was giving him was the validation that he needed, that he, it wasn't his fault. That shouldn't have happened to him. She had no right to touch him. So that's just my thoughts. What do y'all think? All mics are open.
Well, I agree with what you're saying, Tammy. Look, we were just children. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
In so many cases, all right, my case, but so many cases, we don't have anyone to point us in the right direction. And as far as our bodies are concerned, yes, God made our bodies so that, you know, we were to procreate. If you read in the Bible, that's why, you know. So when you do that, you know, first of all, it wasn't our fault that it made us feel good. A lot of times that's why people become very promiscuous, too. Because sex does feel good, you know, it can feel very good. And that's the way God made us. So there takes your shame. It took mine. All right. The blame was not mine. It started with me when I was six, and I certainly didn't feel good then. But, you know, along the line, last time I was raped was when I was 17. I got pregnant. I didn't dare tell my mother because she'd say it was my fault. And I had gotten raped. And so, you know, I had a miscarriage. That's what happened. Now, my mother doesn't even know those things because I never told her. I never told anybody in my family. I wouldn't dare, okay? So I didn't write that in my book. I that was too personal. Now I don't care. It's not that I don't care anymore. I'm able to face it, okay? This is what happened, and I had to go through it, and I got over the part of, you know, when you're raped, it's not your fault.
Nope.
It's not your fault.
Absolutely not.
And when you're beaten, and when you're beaten as a kid, it's not your fault.
Right.
My beating started when my mother insisted that I pick up after my brother. He'd come home from school. He was 5 years older than me. He'd come home from school, and he could have snacks and anything he wanted to do, and I had to clean his mess. And finally, a part of me said, no, this isn't right, and I'm going to stand up for myself. So I did.
Absolutely.
I did. And I got beaten.
You did?
Yes. Oh, yes, I did.
Well, I want to thank you for sharing that, Carol, and thank you for joining us. I want to go back to Felicia and get her thoughts on validation. What do you think about that, Felicia?
It helps me heal. The validation, we have to validate ourselves. We have to realize it wasn't our fault. But my final healing came, I think, when my dad validated me. I truly believe that that was the last piece of the puzzle for me, because I never got it from my mom or anybody else. And had dad never validated me, I would have probably still been okay. But I just think that that was the main part of my healing, was him saying, I'm sorry, even though he doesn't remember a lot of it. You know what I mean?
Right. And, you know, that may be with your sister, and I know she's not here. I don't want to make it about her, you know, when she's not here to talk about it, but, you know, with her, generically speaking, you know, with her saying this happened, you know, she's describing this and him saying it didn't happen, that's denying her validation, you know.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
I really don't think he believes. I really don't think he remembers. Because when he gets so upset, you can see in his face, it's like somebody smacked him. And he's so, he's just not the same person that he was. He's so different in so many ways. So I really think
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that he can validate something he doesn't remember because he really thinks that he was innocent.
Exactly. So your sister, you know, she may need to get her validation elsewhere from you, from other survivors, from another place, because it sounds like that, from just the tiny bit of information you've given us, that she was denied validation. And that is a tough thing for all of us survivors. Anyone who's listening, you know, the best advice I could give that we've all talked about, I think we all agree on, is, you know, it starts with validation. If you're struggling and you're just coming to, and we know we've got a lot of people streaming in, you know, get your validation. You know, give it to yourself if you have to. You know, tell yourself, I didn't deserve that. You know, go to a group, you know, plug in with NASCA, because we'll support you and we'll give you the validation that you need. We do it all the time, because it's never, ever, ever, ever the kid's fault. Never. There's nothing a child
right.
can do to deserve to be beaten. There's nothing a child can do to deserve to be neglected and not provided for. There's nothing a child can do to deserve someone stealing their innocence. And that's what they do. They steal our innocence for their own pleasure. You know, regardless of where they learn the behavior, they don't have that. You know, we made the choices not to, and they could have made, even if it happened to them, they had that choice and they made the wrong one, you know?
Right.
And that's just the way it is. That's the way I see it. Pamela, what do you think about all this?
Well, I want to ask y'all a question. Want each one of you to answer this.
Okay.
Why aren't there any movies about this? You know, some of these producers get a hold of stuff and boy, they just make series after series, like you know, like one and two and three, you know. But I don't see many movies about this stuff.
Okay, I'll answer that. There are some movies out there. One of my favorite movies is Sleepers. Now, it's not in the family. It's not incest. But it is about, you know, children being sexually abused. If you've ever seen it before, it's called Sleepers. It's amazing. I'm honing in
on child abuse in the family and, you know, and among the extended family and incest. That's the things I want to see.
There are a few movies out there, not many of them that I know of. There's a few, but for one thing, we've been taught as a society, and it's just starting to change in the past few years, is you don't talk about it, you don't bring your business out. I mean, our parents used to tell us that. Carol can allude to this. You know, you don't take your family business in the street. You know, you protect the family, you protect, you know, the institutions, you protect them, and you don't talk about it. You don't talk about it. We were taught to not talk about it. Then you've got to realize that, you know, a lot of times it's, we have one lady came on. She's a psychologist. Like, Carol, I think you were on that show. You know, she told us, she was amazing. She says, when I interview, because she basically worked with the children, interviewing children, a child psychologist. And she said, most of the time the children say, I don't want to bring harm to my parents. I just want it to stop. So, you know, we don't have movies about it because as a society, we've covered it up. And I'll shut up because we're running out of time, and I know you want the other two to answer. We've got 6 minutes left, so I'll shut up.
Oh, God.
Carol?
Yeah,
Carol,
absolutely.
What do you think?
No, yeah, absolutely. We were told never to talk about it. In fact, in my case, I was told that if I did talk about it, I'd get beat or killed. It was as simple as that. So you kept your mouth shut. That's all I can say about that one.
But why is society, why is the profession of Hollywood, why aren't they taking these stories that are out there? I mean, Lifetime. Look at the stupid stories they put out there.
All right, I'll say one thing about Lifetime, Pamela. Let me tell you something. Some time ago, Tammy, maybe you can remember, we had this lady on, and her story did hit Lifetime. This is going over a year ago now. I don't remember her name.
Mm-hmm.
She was a bigwig. She was an attorney. I don't remember her name. But anyway, the point is, I watched that movie on Lifetime, and we heard her story on our show. So we knew every specific of her story. Lifetime changed it. I just want you to know that. If you ever hit Lifetime, they took out the worst of it. Go ahead. Even today.
Mm-hmm. Felicia, what do you think? Let's go to you because we've got about 5 minutes left, probably about 4 minutes of talk time. Felicia, what do you think?
Well, I was sitting here smiling while you were saying that because actually I've been writing a book and I got a hold of Dorrance Publishing, and they offered to publish my book. Well, when I spoke with them about my life, they asked me if they turned it into a Lifetime movie. And at that time, I said no, because my father's still alive. But me and my dad have talked about that, and my dad has pushed me to finish my book. He told me to finish it. So I'm going to finish it. My husband, Tom, has asked me to finish it as well. So I'm going to finish it, and I'm going to send it in to him, and I'm going to go ahead and agree to let them do that. Because it would take hours for me to explain, but my mom was a prostitute when I was born. There's so much to my life that, you know, it's the book is bringing you from the darkness to the light, and that there is a life afterwards. But anyway, I don't want to give away my book, but but I am going to finish. Tom has asked me to, so he's setting up the office for me to be able to set and finish writing it and get it in. The Dorrance was pretty excited about the book, and they wanted to turn it over to life. So,
congratulations!
Yeah, really.
Well, if it all takes place like they said, and like we're hoping, I will definitely get back a hold of you guys and let you know to watch it.
Sure,
but,
absolutely.
You better.
Well, that's amazing. Yeah, keep us posted on that. I want to go back to Pamela because she posed that question, and like I said, we've only got 3 minutes. So, Pamela, really quickly, what comments you want to make based on the feedback you just got?
Oh, Felicia, I'm just so proud of you, and I'm just so happy for you as well. And tell your hubby and your dad, we said hi from Masca. We love you, Felicia, and we really want to see you succeed in your endeavors towards building this shelter you want to build for people. Because I think that, like you said, people need more time than 45 days to get their lives together when they're on drugs or whatever, coming from the street, you know. I want to thank you from all of us from Masca.
Thank you for having me, and I hope I encourage someone somewhere.
Absolutely. I think it's been a terrific show. And I am going to wrap it up, so I want to go to you guys to make some final comments. And keep in mind, I'm about to hit the 90-second mark. So, Carol, go.
Yeah. Every time a person writes a book or reaches out and tells a story one way or another, it's helping humanity. We may not see it, we may not realize it, but it is happening. The wheel is turning, as Bill says, okay? It is happening. And I want to congratulate you, too, okay? Look, I wrote my book 10 years ago, and there was only one other book on there, one other book on child abuse. Today it's flooded. So you see, people are talking. And that's my
Absolutely.
Proof right there. And I know that we're helping people. Yes, I do.
Thank you,
Congratulations.
Carol. Thank you very, very much. Felicia, we've got literally just a couple of seconds if you'd like to make some final thoughts. Literally just a couple of seconds. Go ahead.
Find your tribe. I just want to tell people to find your tribe. Blood's not always family, and family's not always blood.
Cool beans.
That's the only thing I
Pamela, have. Absolutely, and that's a good comment. Pamela, is it the final comment?
Yes. Everybody have a Merry Christmas. If you need to reach out to somebody because you're lonely or because you feel not validated, please call into NASCA. Please look at the contact list. It's NASCA.org, the National Association of Adults with Child Abuse.
Perfect. Thank you. Well, we are out of time, so I'd like to thank you all for calling in. Everybody have a Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah. And God bless the children of the world, and God bless adult survivors of child abuse. Merry Christmas, everyone. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Another tomorrow, 'cause that's gone away.